tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. Speak to us through your preached word and let us respond. In Christ's name we give you thanks. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scriptural passage is taken from the gospel according to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. It's also printed there from the Message Bible on the back of your worship bulletin. I shall be reading from the New King James Translation. Listen to these words. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, kneeled before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not cheat. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. One thing you lack. One thing you lack. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. One thing you lack. If you look closely at the text that we have before us, it is similar to a parable. In fact, if you have your Bibles and if you look at Luke chapter 18, this same story is printed with a little bit more details. But yet the essence of the story reminds us that Jesus is not saying at this point that we should do away with all of our possessions, all of our wealth, all of our CDs, stocks, bonds, you name it. But he's teaching a valuable lesson. In fact, if you look at Luke, the 18th chapter, Luke refers to this man as a rich young ruler. Jesus is not dealing with the surface of all of those things that he have, but he goes deeper than that. He looks at the man's heart. It reminds me of a great quote from Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers said it this way, and you can fill in your first bullet point. Let me share this quote with you. Not how much we give, but how much we do not give is the test of our Christianity. Not how much we give, but how much we don't give is the test of our Christianity. It is a great reminder, when it comes to God, we're God's stewards. He have entrusted time, talents, and treasures into our hands. And it's not how much we give, but how much we don't give. We shall be held accountable as stewards. We should give our all. I'm so reminded just this Friday night, and maybe many of you have had the opportunity to watch it as well. It deals with the Final Four. It's not the men's Final Four. It's the ladies that I'm talking about. It was a team that was getting ready to play a team that had won 111 games, known as UConn. And they were playing the Mississippi Bulldogs, the team that they beat by 60 points previously. But the Bulldogs knew the odds was against them. They knew all the commentators, all those reporters had already stated that they were going to lose. But they kept their eyes on the prize. Not so much looking at the Giants as it relates to the UConn players, but they were looking as a team. And it's only one thing that UConn lacked that night. More points. More points. They lost. Will go down as one of the greatest upset victories or defeats as it relates to UConn. It is a great reminder for us as Christians, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the circumstances, to keep focus. I love the story as it relates to a man who had created something and demonstrated to the audience of having someone to tie a rope from one end to the other across Niagara Falls. And he had a wheelbarrow. And he was able to take that wheelbarrow and cross Niagara Falls. The spectators around were so impressed. And indeed, one spectator had a chance to talk to that man. And he told him these words. "This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. The most amazing thing." And so the talented man said, "You are amazed by that?" I said, "Yes, I believe in you. Man, I have great belief. Oh, that was just so amazing." He said, "You believed in what I did?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, let me measure your belief. Get in the wheelbarrow. Let me take you across." Yeah. That's what Jesus is doing to this rich young ruler. With all of his possessions, all of his wealth, this man, he comes out of nowhere. He runs up to Jesus. He doesn't walk. He doesn't jog. The Bible says he runs towards Jesus. And he's seeking eternal life. "What must I do?" Good teacher. "What must I do to inherit eternal life? To live eternally with God?" You can imagine he felt extremely good as it relates to his life and how he wanted to acknowledge Jesus as though he's impressing Jesus by calling him a good teacher. How many of you can remember a teacher that made an impact upon your life? Just a quick survey. Yeah. At the last service, I asked that question. In fact, I asked Victoria, and Victoria talked about a teacher who's a member of this church, April Adams. Teachers make a profound impression upon our lives beyond the classroom. And we have the opportunity to associate with them and to know them years later. That's true in my own life. I've already shared it. My good professor here and friend is Dr. Robert Williams. Brought him out of retirement to play for us. Now, some asked the question a couple weeks ago when he first appeared, "What in the world did he teach you?" Because they notice how he plays, and I don't play. But he taught me humanities. And I'm so thankful I passed, too. Amen. This man refers to Jesus as good teacher. As a sense of giving him an adjective that'll make him feel good. And Jesus says, "Why call me good? There's only one that is good." Do you notice how Jesus always pointed not only the disciples, but people back to God? You remember when the disciples were together and they wanted to know how to pray, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Look at the first words that we just shared a few moments ago in the model prayer. Jesus said, "When you pray, say what? Our Father." He points this man back to his Father, not to himself, but to his Father. That his Father is the only one that is good. And then Jesus says to the man, "You know the commandments." And if you notice, Jesus shared the five commandments that deals with human relationships. If you have your Bibles, look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, or Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, as it relates to the commandments. And in the commandments, the first five deals with our relationship with God. And the next five deal with our relationship with each other. But Jesus acknowledged the man's relationship with humanity. He acknowledged these five commandments. Here they are. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not dishonor thy parents. And oh, you can imagine this young man saying, Lord, I've done all those. I haven't done all those since my youth. I haven't done any of those. I'm pretty sure he felt good. Until Jesus shared with him what he wanted him to do. Because he missed the five commandments that deals with his relationship with God. You just keep reading the text and you'll see that. Because if you look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, if you have your Bibles and look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, it is that first commandment that he could not keep, that he had not kept. Even from his youth, because you see in Exodus the 20th chapter, it says, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me. Not a capital G, but a small g, with an S at the end. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He allowed his wealth, his riches, his possessions to be his God. Look how the story plays out. Jesus is sharing so explicitly with this young man, are you seeking me and yet holding on to the worldly goods? Do you really want to be a part of me? Do you really want eternal life? Let me help you fill in the bullet points as it relates to this sermon. And there are three points that I want to share with you because Jesus challenged this young rich man was threefold. Number one, Jesus is saying to this young man, renounce your wealth. Renounce your wealth. Why? Because his wealth was holding him back from his relationship with God. It was hindering his relationship. It could have been anything else you want to insert there. But Jesus was reminding him to renounce it, to give it up. We have a moment after this worship experience to walk to this cross or the cross over there behind me. Take a hammer and take a nail and a sticky note. And use a pen, whatever issue. Whatever situation that is hindering you, just write it down and nail it to the cross. Jesus tells this young man to renounce your wealth. And then secondly, look what he says in the Bible. He says, take up your cross and do what? Follow me. Take up your cross. The cross is God's gift to you and to me. It is that Christian symbol that we acknowledge and perhaps we have it as part of our jewelry and we remember it and have it in our home. But it's more than that. The cross reminds us of the sacrifice and that our redemption has been paid in full through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're studying as it relates to our Wednesday night Bible study. And there's a point in there, and you'll see it now, as it relates to the cross. It reminds us that the cross is the intersection of love and holiness. Now, if you look at the cross, you have one being that is reaching where? Outwardly. It's going out. That's a sign of God's love, that he loves you and me. Love, amazing love. How can it be that he would die for a sinner like me? And then the cross, the other beam, it goes up. It reminds us of the height of God's love and that God is holy. It symbols his holiness. And the only way to approach God is to remember that we are sinners and we need to accept the cross, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. You can see here how Jesus wanted this young man to deny everything that he had. If he really wanted eternal life, he must give away those things that are holding him back. It is a great reminder for you and for me to remember that he wants us to give ourselves to him. And then lastly, to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus at all costs. I love the story. It's about a man who was a rich man. And he had already given instructions to his wife. He said, "When I die, I want you to bury me with all of my money. Put it all in the casket." And she agreed, surprisingly. And yes, indeed, he died. They had his memorial service, closed casket. And after the service, her girlfriend just couldn't wait. She had to ask, "Did you really bury him with all of his money?" She said, "Yes, I wrote him a check." We can't take it with us. We can't take it with us. Amen. It is a clear reminder that at the cross, be my glory. I want God to take my sinful soul and wash it in the blood of the Lamb. That one day I'll find rest at the river. One thing thou lackest. It was in his relationship with God. May God inspire us to take up the cross and to follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.